Chapter 10. Dressed in matte black outfits and light-colored combat hoods, the men knelt down low in the stand of trees on the other side of the footbridge to the house. Up to this point, the trees, the night, and the thick layer of clouds overhead had supplied them with all the cover they'd needed. Their camo-painted 4x4 Jeep was a half-mile back toward paradise, parked in a nook in the woods, its front end covered in branches and leaves. So far, it had all gone off like clockwork. But the older of the two men knew the real challenge would come the second they stepped out of the womb of the trees and crossed to the other side of the thin finger of water separating the woods from their objective. Although this wasn't like a real combat zone, and no one was likely to die unless things got completely out of hand, it was always at this juncture when the fog of battle set in. When you lost your control of circumstance and any outside factor could cause things to blow up in your face. He was good with that. As a soldier, he had made his peace with that risk, carrying out operations in Anbar province and around Mosul, places where kill or be killed wasn't a hypothetical. Problem was, the kid with him was amped up. Too amped up. The soldier recognized the signs. The kid's breathing was ragged, as if he couldn't quite catch his breath. And in spite of the raw air, he was sweating through his clothing. Maybe that had been the problem with the woman in Swan Harbor. The kid's adrenaline had gotten the better of him, and he and his team had taken things too far. The soldier hated the thought of carrying out an operation with someone he couldn't trust to keep his cool. He wanted to do this thing by himself. It was simple enough, and he liked to operate on his own, made things less complicated. But his orders were crystal clear. The kid had to be a part of this.
"Let the boy have a taste of glory before the sacrifice," is how the commander had put it to him.
He wasn't sure he understood, but he kept his thoughts to himself. He had never questioned orders before, not even when they came down from Heebs, Hodges, Beaners, or Niggers, and he wasn't going to start now. But he knew he had to distract the kid, to turn it down a few notches. "That's funny," he said in a whisper, gently slapping the kid above the left temple.
"Hey,"
the kid swatted his partner's hand,
"what's funny?"
"Nothing," the older man said.
"I just felt like slapping you."
The kid was confused, but the soldier didn't care. It had done the trick. The kid's breathing was more normal and his eyes less crazed.
"You know what to do?"
The kid was annoyed.
"Yeah, man. We've gone over this like 1,000 times.
"That's what you said before you almost killed that woman and ruined everything."
"I know, I know. I said I was sorry."
"Sorry doesn't cut it with me. So let's go over it again." The kid rolled his eyes and said,
"You go across first to check things out. When you're sure it's clear, you'll signal for me to follow and to bring the can. Once I'm across, I keep low to the ground until you give me the sign to pour the kerosene. When I'm done with that, I give you the sign and retreat back to the vehicle. You'll follow, dropping the lighter as you go. We regroup at the vehicle, which I've started."
"Good. But what don't you do?" The kid was confused.
"Don't fuck up? I don't know."
"You don't turn the vehicle's headlights on, and you don't clear the brush away from it."
Yeah, right.
The soldier checked his watch. He checked the sky, the road, checked the lights that were on in the house. He smiled when the kitchen lights went off, and a few seconds later, the children's bedroom lights went on upstairs. "Now," he said, and took off. He didn't use the footbridge or the driveway access from the road. Instead, he stepped quietly through the water and climbed up onto the grass. He did a quick but careful circuit of the house. When he was done, he signaled to the kid with his flashlight. The kid came out of the woods in a sprint and tripped over his own feet, but somehow managed to hold on to the blue plastic container of kerosene. After the longest 15 seconds of his life, the kid got up and made his way through the water. He hated the way it felt, the cold water soaking through his black pants, socks, and the tops of his boots. But he got across, kept low, and waited. In a harsh, barked whisper, the soldier said, "Go!" He then removed the .40 caliber from his black nylon holster, aiming it at the front door. He had no intention of shooting anyone, but a few well-placed shots were usually enough to deter even the nosiest SOBs. He swiveled his head back and forth, alternating his gaze between the kid pouring out the kerosene and the front door. An acrid petroleum tang filled up the night. The kid waved the empty canister at the soldier, who signaled for the kid to go. This time, the kid kept his footing and disappeared into the woods. The soldier waited to see if anyone in the house reacted to the sight or the sound of the kid. After a 10 count, sure no one in the house was aware of what was going on, he holstered his sidearm and removed a cheap lighter from his pocket. He moved to where the kid had laid down the pattern on the grass, flicked the lighter, and, when the flame came up, touched it to the kerosene. A few seconds later, a little girl looked out of her bedroom window and said, "Look, Daddy, a pretty fire."